News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
53106, if you have a viewer, 087-1400-106. We're returning to the threats made by Donald Trump against Iran, giving them a deadline through until 1 a.m. Irish time this evening, where if they don't reopen the Straits of Hormuz and acquiesce to a number of other demands by America, he will, quotes, bomb them back to the Stone Age. With us is Amy Tarkanian, former Nevada Republican state chairwoman and a Republican strategist. Amy, Donald Trump over the weekend released a statement on his own social media account that promised to commit war crimes, that was racist and that was profane. If any other president in the history of America had done it, it would have caused absolute horror among their supporters and opponents. Is this the final straw? Is it any kind of straw? Will it cause any response?
No. And what it was is basically it's a post that was filled with frustration and anger. It's definitely not diplomatic by any means, and it was not statesmanlike, that's for sure. But what he's now doing, and this is what he typically does, whether if it's dealing with an individual or a series of events here domestically or internationally, is he will put a maximum amount of pressure on the people who are involved, and we'll go public with it if it comes to that point, to get their attention and to see if and when they will blink. So he uses sharp rhetoric. He will then tighten deadlines, as we've now witnessed a few times here dealing with the Iranian regime. And he allows that to have a potential pivot with a small opening for a deal. So he will throw out the threat, the verbal lashing, and then capitulate somewhat, but still be viewed as having the upper hand. And I think that's what we're witnessing.
The small issue of war crimes?
Well, the post that you're referring to, it was very explicit as far as a threat, but it was still pretty broad. So did it mention certain types of infrastructure? Absolutely. But did it say a specific bridge? No, it did not. But it did say, he did say, I was going to come in and I was going to blow up.
But hang on, sorry, Amy. I mean, he doesn't need to name individual localities for it to become a war crime.
No, but what he's doing just is because saying, he puts out sharp rhetoric does not mean that equals a war crime.
No, but sorry, my point being, what he's, regardless of the sharpness of his rhetoric, he has said repeatedly that he's going to remove bridges so that people can't travel in the country. He's going to remove mm-hmm. power plants so that they don't have any electricity, and he is going mm-hmm. to reduce the entire nation to the Stone Ages. That's mm-hmm. a direct attack on a civilian population. That's a war crime.
Well, no, that's very harsh rhetoric. That's not a war crime. Now, if he were to follow through with it, then yes, we would be having this discussion of a possible war crime and there would be an investigation. But I think by him going out and doing what he typically does by bullying individuals and hoping that the other side blinks at some point, he's not going to put out an empty threat and say, oh, I hope that you will be frightened that we will come and attack you in the middle of the desert where there's nothing there. So he's instilling fear. Is it a good way of doing business in diplomacy? I mean, it's worked for him. I don't agree with it, well, but it does work for him.
On it working from him, where we've seen him do this before, he promised tariffs to the order of about 65 or 70% and then completely abandoned that and capitulated. He promised that he was going to annex Canada, then completely abandoned that and capitulated. He promised that he was going to annex Greenland, then completely abandoned that mm-hmm. and capitulated. Will the pattern continue where we hit this deadline this evening and he abandons it and capitulates?
Very well. He very well may. We do know that there are some type of conversations going on. So it's a matter of what does he actually get in the end? It's hard to tell because we don't know exactly what's being discussed and who he's actually having these discussions with. So we're all just kind of left hanging. And yes, this is his pattern. This is what he tends to do. So he likes to be viewed as somebody who is 10 steps ahead. He likes to keep you on the edge. He does not like to keep you too informed, but just enough to where you're still paying attention, but you're going to be on the edge of your seat. That's how he functions, and it drives people crazy, but it's how he functions.
And what's the domestic view of this? Because he himself has said that the population of America does not want ground forces to go in, and that they do want mm-hmm. the war to end. He was quoted as saying that he would rather go in and steal the oil, but he can't because American popular opinion won't allow him. How is this playing at home?
Sure. Well, historically, most presidents, if not all presidents leading up to him, what they do is they would normally, if they're going to go into a war, they would address the nation prior. And they're not asking for permission, but they are asking for some buy-in. They do share with the nation why they're doing it, what is the end game, and what is your role? And that did not happen. So when we all woke up to the fact that we had now gone into war with Iran, we were all kind of in shock. We definitely want the war to end quicker. We definitely do not want to see ground troops. We want our men and women to come back unscathed. But we are now invested. So do we want to just end it and not be successful? I mean, that's no, we don't, because we truly don't want them to have certain types of weaponry, knowing that they have the uranium and that they have lied over and over and over again. It's just a matter of now, what is going to be the outcome? When is this the end game? Our fear is that once you dive in now with both feet, we don't want another Iraq. We don't want another Afghanistan. We don't want to pitch a tent and stay there for decades. We also have a midterm election coming up. And he is receiving tremendous amounts of pressure from Republican candidates who are wanting to be reelected or who are looking to be elected for the first time and saying, you've gone about this in a non-conventional way, sir, and now our economy is hurting. The gas prices are off the charts, and people are now worried about putting food on the table. So it's not looking so good, and we're now a few months out from our primary elections. And so that's why I think you're also hearing some of the softer verbiage, if you will, about trying to end this quicker.
All right. Sorry, Amy, I cut across you there. My apologies. Amy Tarkanian, former Nevada Republican state chairwoman and Republican strategist.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.